Amen. All right, we're there in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. And of course, on Sunday mornings, we've been going through a sermon series entitled A Day in the Life. And we've been looking at what the Bible teaches about what a biblical day should look like in the life of different individuals. Of course, we began with a general sermon on the day of life of a believer. And we looked at some foundational things that every believer should be doing: Bible reading, prayer, Thanksgiving, dying to self. These are things we should be doing every day. And then if you remember, 3 weeks ago, I preached a sermon directly to the men, and it was a day in the life of a Christian man. 2 weeks ago, day in the life of a Christian lady. And then last week, I preached to the kids, a day in the life of Christian children. Today, we're moving on to the next group, and I'm preaching on the subject of the day, a day in the life of a Christian young people, And last week, we talked about children, 4 to 12 years old. This week, we're going to be talking to teens and young adults. And honestly, you know, I could have done two different sermons, but there's just so much overlap there that we're just going to cover, you know, 13 all the way to whatever you consider a young adult. I think there's some things here that can be helpful to you. And of course, today I'm preaching to teens and young adults. So if you're a teenager and a young adult, then the sermon's for you. I want you to listen and pay attention. But if you unfortunately can no longer consider yourself a young adult, then it's still good for you when the Word of God is preached. And I think you'll find that some of the things that we apply to the young people are going to apply to you. And at the very least, you're going to have some young people in your life that you can influence and that you can advise at times. So a sermon like this is helpful for you, because maybe you've got a 13 or 14 or 15 year old kid, or a 16 or 17 year old niece or nephew, or a grandkid that's in that age group, and maybe you're not sure, how should I be advising them? What should I be telling them to do? When I think this sermon will help you. We want to give some advice here to young people, and I want to speak to young people this morning. You're there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. If you look at verse number 1, the Bible says this: remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And here we have an exhortation from Solomon, who, of course, we've been learning about Solomon in our First Kings series. He's the wisest man to ever walk the earth, other than, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we actually find Solomon at the end of his life as an old man, and as a man who just had a lot of sin in his life and made a lot of mistakes, and he's actually has a lot of regrets. And he ends this book of Ecclesiastes, which is kind of a sad book in the sense it's an old man warning people to not make the mistakes that he's made. And here he's pleading with young people, and he's telling them to remember now thy Creator, of course, referring to God who created us. He says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. He says, while the evil days come not. And the evil days here in context, and no offense to anybody who's older, but in the context, Solomon is talking about the days when we grow older. The evil days are days of trouble, days of sorrow, days of difficulty, days of weakness, days of regret, days of health being poor, days that will come to all of us that's associated with aging. And next week, I'm going to be preaching a sermon entitled A Day in the Life of a Senior Saint. So if you're older, I'm going to be speaking to you next week. But here, Solomon is encouraging young people to remember God in the days of their youth. He says, while the evil days come not. He says, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So we're seeing that God is telling young people, now is the time to focus on God. Now is the time to live for the Lord. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And I'd like you to keep your place there in Ecclesiastes 12. We're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it. And I'd like for you to get to it quickly. But if you wouldn't mind, go with me to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations chapter number 3. Lamentations is a very small book that's in the middle of those big major prophets. So if you're there in Ecclesiastes, if you go past Ecclesiastes, past the Song of Solomon, you'll find the big book of Isaiah, the big book of Jeremiah, and then that small book of Lamentations. If you get to the book of Ezekiel, you went too far, all right? Right between Jeremiah and Ezekiel, you have the book of Lamentations. Lamentations chapter number 3, and I've wanted these sermons to be very practical and very application-driven. And I think you'll find that this morning's sermon is going to be the same. But I want to just talk to young people. What should you be focusing on every day during this season of your life, during this stage of your life? And the first thing I want to point out to you is that Christian teens and Christian young adults should have a daily focus on developing their work ethic. You should have a daily focus on developing your work ethic. And today, we live in a society that elevates having fun. It elevates amusement. It elevates idleness. And of course, there's a time and a place to rest, and there's a time and a place to have a good time. But during this time of your life, this season of your life, when you're a teenager, if you're a teenager, you're not necessarily a child anymore. Your body's changing. You're growing. You're developing. But you're not an adult yet. Or even if you are an adult, maybe you're a young adult, and you are an adult legally and by every measure you're an adult, but you'd still be considered a young adult. You're just getting started in life. This is a time in your life where you should be focusing on developing your work ethic. This should be something that you focus on every day. If the question is, what should I do tomorrow morning, Monday morning? What should I do Tuesday? What should I do Wednesday? What should I do every day? You should have a daily focus on developing your work ethic. Are you there in Lamentations chapter 3? Look at verse number 27. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 27, the Bible says, "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke." And I want you to notice what the Bible says here. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke. And then notice the words here, in his youth. Now, the truth of the matter is this, that the statement, without saying in his youth, it would still be a true statement. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke is true. And of course, a yoke there is referring to carrying a burden, carrying a load, working hard. But here God emphasizes that it's good for a man to bear the yoke all the time, but he said, starting in his youth. It should be something that youth are focused on. You ought to focus on the fact that you should be developing your daily work ethic. Now, I asked you to keep your place in Ecclesiastes, and I appreciate you doing that. I'd also like you to keep your place in Lamentations, if you don't mind. Those are the only two places I'm going to ask you to keep your place. But then go with me, if you don't mind, to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 37 is the first book in the Bible, so it should be fairly easy to find. Genesis chapter number 37. The Bible highlights for us that young people, and it highlights young people that work hard. You'd be surprised how much the Bible talks about young people. I feel like I could preach a whole sermon series just about young people in the Bible. They're emphasized a lot throughout Scripture. I want you to notice this young man that we meet in Genesis 37 by the name of Joseph. Genesis 37 and verse 2, the Bible says, "These are the generations of Jacob." Jacob, of course, had 12 sons. His name is later changed to Israel. He's got the 12 sons of Israel. Joseph is one of those sons. Notice when we meet Joseph being 17 years old. So he's a teenager, he's an older teenager, not 13 or 14, he's closer to that young adult stage. And we meet Joseph in this point of his life, being 17 years old, the Bible says, and notice where we meet him. Joseph being 17 years old, notice what the next words say, was feeding the flock with his brethren. The first time we meet Joseph, he's 17 years old, and what's emphasized is that he is working. And this is something that's emphasized about Joseph throughout his entire life. His entire life emphasizes the fact that he has a strong work ethic, that he works hard. Notice in Genesis 39, you're there in Genesis 37. Of course, you're familiar with the story of Joseph. I'm not going to go into detail about it, but in case you're not familiar with it, you should know that Joseph, of course, has his brothers envy him, and they actually sell him as a slave. They sell him into slavery, and then they tell their father that he was killed by a wild beast. So I want you to notice in Genesis 39, we find Joseph now as a slave. But notice again what the Bible emphasizes about this young man. Genesis 39, verse 4, it says, "And Joseph found grace in his sight." And the "his" there is referring to Potiphar. This is the man that purchased Joseph as a slave. The Bible says that Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hands. I want you to notice that Joseph was a hard worker. He was a responsible young man. He was a hardworking young man. And because of that, he found grace in the sight of his boss. And by the way, let me just say this. If you're employed, one way that you can find grace in the sight of your boss is to be responsible and to be a hard worker. And here we see that Joseph becomes the overseer. And he's a young man. Obviously, we meet him when he's 17 years old. But we don't know exactly how old he is the whole time that he's in slavery. Of course, we know that he goes to prison later. We'll talk about that in a minute. But he's in his 20s. He's in his 30s. He's what we consider a young man, a young adult. And he's being given responsibility. He's made the overseer over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Verse 6 says, "And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat, and Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored." So here we see Joseph. We meet him as a son, 17 years old. What's he doing? He's working. Then we see him here as a slave, and what do we see? He's a hard worker. He's responsible. He's being promoted at his job. He becomes the overseer. Then, of course, if you know the story, Potiphar's wife lies about Joseph and says that he tried to assault her when he didn't. In fact, she was trying to cause him to commit adultery with her, and he fled from her. And because of her lies, he gets thrown into prison. Notice in Genesis 39 and verse 21, what do we find about Joseph in prison? Genesis 39, verse 21, the Bible says, "But the Lord was with Joseph." Isn't that encouraging? Even in prison, even while being attacked, even while being lied about, while everyone else turned on Joseph, the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor. Notice, in the sight of the keeper of the prison, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Notice these words, "And whatsoever they did there, he," talking about Joseph, "was the doer of it." I love that statement where it says, whatsoever they did there, he was a doer of it. What does that say about Joseph? It says that he was proactive. It says that he was a hard worker. It says that he took initiative. He didn't just sit around doing nothing. He didn't sit around just being lazy. He was active everywhere he went. He was working for his dad. He was a slave. He was in shackles, in prison, and he was a hard worker. And one thing we can learn from this is that young people should focus on developing their work ethic. And I would say this to young people, this is the time to develop the habits of becoming a hard worker. Because when people allow themselves to be lazy, that usually begins in their young age. And look, I'm just telling you, life gets harder, life gets difficult, life is going to be difficult for anyone who's lazy. You are not going to, number one, succeed in life by being a lazy individual. But I'm just telling you, life on its own is going to get lazy. And of course, here we're talking about Joseph. We're talking about Lamentations, where it says that it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. But this applies to both men and women. Obviously, we saw the virtuous woman when I preached about the ladies. We saw the virtuous woman. What do we see about the virtuous woman? That she's a very hard worker. In the book of Ruth, she's actually called a virtuous woman, Ruth. And we know that she's a young lady and she's a hard worker. And these are things that you need to develop. Look, men, young men need to learn to work hard now, to not despise work, to not, just try to get out of work, to not just dread work. Just learn to enjoy work, learn to like work, and work is a good thing. And look, when you go and you work hard, at the end of the day, you feel good. You're going to feel good. You're going to feel like you've produced something. And this is the time to develop that. Because when you get older, especially in your 30s, in your 40s, in your 50s, that's going to be a time in your life where you need to be working. You need to be succeeding. You need to be accomplishing things. And that's going to be harder if you've developed a habit of laziness. Same with you young ladies. You know, maybe you're a teenager, you're a young lady living at home, and maybe there's not a lot going on in your life, but if you allow yourself to develop laziness in your life, one day, Lord willing, you're going to be married. One day, you may have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 children in that home, and it's going to be really hard for you if you've just been pampered and lazy your whole life, you know, because those kids, they're not going to care. They're not going to care that you're tired. They're not going to care that you're sick. They're not going to care. And what I'm saying to you is life will be easier for you if you just determine as a young person to not be lazy. Develop the skill and develop the muscle. Develop yourself in such a way where you're just a hard worker, where you never have to be asked to jump in to do something, where you see work as a good thing, and it's a success, it will bring success to your life if you develop the habit of being a hard worker as a young person. And again, today, you know, when you think of the average young person and what the world wants to portray, what do they want to portray? They want to portray a young person sitting in a basement somewhere playing video games all day. You know, a young person sitting on a couch somewhere just watching movies all day or being on social media all day or just hanging out all day. And again, I'm not saying that there's definitely times when you should rest and you should just have fun with your friends, especially when you're a young person. I'm not saying that there's never a time for that. But what I am saying to you is that you need to realize that life's not about just having fun. Life's not about just sitting around doing nothing. And at some point, you're going to have to grow up. The Apostle Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. He said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And it's a good time to just realize that in your teen years and in those young adult years, you are transitioning from being a child to becoming a man, to becoming a woman. And one of those things is that you develop responsibility and you develop a work ethic. So you gotta have a daily focus on developing a work ethic. I think it's something that young people should focus on every day. Let's look at another young person in the Bible. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, if you don't mind. You're there in Genesis. If you go past Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel 16. And look, if you're a young person, you get a little job, you're working with someone or you're employed somewhere, determine to be a good worker. Determined to work hard. Determined to develop that skill. Determined to be that person that just works hard, that's not afraid of work, that's not afraid to jump in and be busy. It's a good thing. It'll help you in life. And look, what do we see about Joseph? Everywhere he goes, he's being promoted. I mean, he gets sold as a slave, and he ends up, you know, being in charge of all the slaves, being in charge of the whole household. Then he gets lied about. He goes to prison. I mean, this is the kind of person that Joseph was. The kind of person that he goes to prison, he ends up running the prison. He becomes a slave. He ends up running the household. And is it any surprise to us that he ends up being the second most powerful man on earth at that time, the second most powerful man in Egypt, which is the world power at the time? And then Pharaoh promotes him, and Pharaoh says that I will be greater than Joseph only in the throne. Which means that Joseph was pretty much the guy running the entire show, doing the entire thing. You say, I would like that. I would like to get promoted at work. I would like to be the boss someday. I'd like to be the CEO of the company someday. I would like to be able to climb up the ladder. Well, look, it's not going to happen when you're 37 years old. It's going to start when you're 17 years old. When you start learning to have a good work ethic. When you start learning to be responsible. When you start learning to decide, you know what, I don't want to be lazy. I don't want to be characterized as lazy. What do? Children play all day. That's what they do. Now, obviously, hopefully they've got a mom and a dad that's putting them through school, educating them, doing those things. But children on their own, left to their own devices, are just going to play all day. One thing that makes you an adult is that you stop playing all day. You can still play every once in a while. You still have fun every once in a while. I hope that lots of you will go to this hike on Friday and just have a good time. You know, fellowshipping and having fun and playing. Nothing wrong with that. But an adult also realizes that I've got to work. I've got to get to work at some point, and young people need to learn to develop a work ethic. And look, young people, just some advice. You say, well, how do I know if I'm a hard worker? Well, you know what Proverbs tells us? Proverbs tells us to learn from the ant. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. And it says that the ant has no ruler or guide. yet it provides for itself in the winter. So one thing that the Bible tells us that we can, you want to figure out, how do I know if I'm a hard worker? Here's how you know if you're a hard worker. If you get your work done without having been told, you having someone to tell you and just micromanage you all the time. You know, if you can't get your schoolwork done without your parents micromanaging you, then you're not a hard worker. If you can't take the trash out without just being constantly told every time, take the trash out, you know, make your bed, do this, do that, then you, those are things you should work on. And you should just develop and decide, I want to be the type of person who just works hard, who gets my responsibilities done, who does what I'm supposed to do, and that way you can succeed in life. And by the way, that way people will just leave you alone. You say, I don't like my parents bossing me around. They're always telling me to do stuff. Well, you know what? Your parents probably only tell you to do the things that they expect from you. And if you just got those things done, they would just be like, great. You know? You say, can I go hang out with my friends, you know, go bowling or at the mall? And they're like, well, did you get your schoolwork done? Did you clean your room? Did you do this? Did you do that? But if you're like, I got it all done, then they're going to be happy. They're going to be impressed. They're going to say, have fun. They might even give you some money, you know. And this is what we see with Joseph. Everywhere he goes, he finds favor with his authority. Why? Because authority likes it when those under them are responsible and hard workers. It makes you feel like, I can trust this individual. I don't have to micromanage this individual. I don't have to worry about what this individual is doing. So develop that. Develop that as a youth, and it'll help you, and it'll bless you throughout your life. So number one, have a daily focus on developing your work ethic. But number two this morning, when we're talking about Christian teens and young adults, what should they do? Number two, they should have a daily focus on developing personal skills and talents. They should have a daily focus on developing personal skills and talents. When you're a young person, again, a teenager, a young adult, this is the time. And look, I'm not saying to you that this is the only time in your life. I'm not saying that. But this is a prime time in your life to develop some personal skills and some talents. In 1 Samuel 16, we find another young man by the name of David. I want you to notice what the Bible says about David. Of course, you know David. He ends up killing Goliath. He ends up being the king of the nation of Israel. In 1 Samuel 16 and verse 22, the Bible says, and Saul sent to Jesse, saying, this is Jesse's David's dad. And this is when David's a young man. The reason that Jesse's being talked to here is because David is under the authority of his father. He's a young man. Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. Notice how David finds favor in the sight of Saul. Joseph finds favor in the sight of his authority. Notice verse 23. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. I want you to notice that the Bible highlights for us this young man, David. And one thing that it highlights about David is that he developed his personal skills and talents. Specifically here, David, we see him as a young man, and he's a musician. He's playing the harp, and he played with his hands, the Bible says. He's being highlighted because he's a musician. Look at verse 18. If you go back to verse 18, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I've seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Notice what it says, that is cunning in playing. So something that's highlighted about David is that he is using his time as his youth, and he's developing a skill, in this case, a musical skill. He's playing instruments. He's singing. And look, the reason that this is a prime time in your life, young people, to develop a skill is because when you're a teen, when you're a young adult, obviously, like I just said, you should be working. You shouldn't be acting like a 9-year-old that just plays all day. Right? Play some, work some. But here's the thing. When you're a teenager and you're a young adult, it's not like you're working for, I mean, you shouldn't be working 40 hours, 60 hours a week. Obviously, there's going to come a day, young man, when you're going to have a wife and kids, and they're going to depend on you for financial support. And then you are just going to have to work hard every day, long hours to support your family. Young lady, one day you're going to get married, you're going to have kids, and you're going to have to work hard. But in these teen years and in these young adult years, I still think you should be working. I still think you should be developing your work ethic. But obviously, you're not going to have this burden on you where you just have to really focus on making money and running this household and taking care of things. So you're going to have a lot of time, and some of that time should be used in developing your skills. And you know, this was something that blessed David his entire life. David, of course, as a young man, is playing the harp. He's being a musician. But what do we know about David? I mean, we know lots about David. But what's one thing we know about David? As an older man, he's used of God to write one of the largest books in the Bible, to write most of one of the largest books of the Bible, the book of Psalms. What is it? It's a book of music. So God uses something that David developed as a young person, as an adult, as a blessing to his life. So, you know, Christian teens and young people, you should develop this, take this time in your life to develop some skills. And you say, well, what kind of skills? Well, there's all sorts of talents, there's all sorts of hobbies, there's all sorts of things you can develop. But one thing that's highlighted here in the Bible, which I think is a great thing, is music. You know, I think that young people should be learning music, should be emphasizing music. You know what? One thing I love about Verity Baptist Church is that I think if you're paying attention, I think you can tell that we've got some amazing musicians here at our church. In fact, I'm not using hyperbole when I say this. I'm being extremely just factual. I think that our church probably has better musicians than the average church in this country. And I mean, and obviously a lot of churches, they're just doing the rock music or whatever, but I'm just talking about churches that even just play traditional music or whatever. We've got some amazing musicians in this church, and I'm thankful for them. But you know what? You'll notice, not all of them, but you'll notice that the vast majority of them, what are they? Young adults. Teenagers, young adults. And a lot of these guys started playing and started getting into music when they were just teenagers, and God is using them in a mighty way, in a powerful way in our church. And this is why I think that young people, Christian teens and young adults, they ought to focus on developing some personal skills and some talents. You've got some natural talents. God wants you to develop those things in your life. By the way, let me just go ahead and plug this in. That's one of the reasons we have a teen choir. I think all the teenagers ought to be involved in that teen choir. You say, why? If it was good enough for David, it's good enough for you. You should be involved. It's good to sing. It's good to fellowship. It's good to serve the Lord. And you should learn how to play an instrument. You say, I can't play an instrument. You should learn how to sing. You should be involved. You ought to develop some personal skills and talents. And one area that I think every young person should consider, of course, is musical skills, skills in music, playing an instrument and singing. Not only that, but let me say this. Go with me, if you don't mind, to Daniel chapter 1. Did you keep your place in Lamentations? If you kept your place in Lamentations, after Lamentations, you have Ezekiel and then Daniel. Lamentations, Ezekiel, and then Daniel. Daniel chapter number 1. We're talking about teens and young adults. And what are things that they should focus on? One thing is they should focus on developing a work ethic. Another thing is that they should develop on personal skills and talents. But let me just say this as well. And again, this isn't the only time in your life that you should focus on this. But I will tell you, you're in the prime time of your life when you're a teenager and a young adult. I'm talking about before you're married, you've got some kids, you've got a lot of responsibility on your shoulders, is that you should focus on your education. Something that's highlighted in the Bible. And you know, I don't know if you noticed this, but in the sermon, we're just looking at young people in the Bible. We saw Joseph in Genesis 39. We saw David in 1 Samuel 16. Here's another group of young people, Daniel chapter 1, verse 6. The Bible says, now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Of course, these are young people that were taken captive from Judah and brought to Babylon. Verse 7. Unto whom the princes of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. Look at verse 17, just for sake of time. The Bible says, as for these four children, so we're talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're brought to Babylon, they've been put through a time where they're being prepared to meet King Nebuchadnezzar. At this time, Nebuchadnezzar is the most powerful man on earth. At this time in world history, here in the book of Daniel, Babylon is the greatest power on earth. These four young men are going to meet the most powerful man on earth. In verse 17, the Bible says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skills in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Look at verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them, look at these words, 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. So here Nebuchadnezzar, who has the smartest, wisest, most skilled individuals around him, he meets Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. He talks to them, he has a conversation with them, and he walks away from them saying, these young people are 10 times better than all of the magicians and astrologers in my realm. And the Bible tells us that God gave them knowledge and skills and all learning and wisdom. And look, here's what I'm saying to you young people. This is the time in your life to focus on your education. You ought to focus, take school seriously. And look, you're going to spend the rest of your life working. You're going to spend the rest of your life busy. This is a time in your life where you ought to take your studies seriously. You ought to pay attention in school. You ought to try to get good grades. You should take this time to develop your skills, your talents, your abilities, your education. Take it all seriously because you don't want to spend your adulthood feeling like you got to catch up. And look, a lot of adults is a common thing that adults will say, but they'll get to their adult times and they're working and they're trying to support a family. And you know what they'll often say? They'll say, I wish I would have paid attention in school. I wish I would have taken school more seriously. You know, I'm kind of behind now and I've got to catch up on some of these things because I was messing around in school. But you're a young person. You can take this time right now to focus on your talents, your skills, your abilities, and your education. And I'm pleading with you, young people, take that seriously. Have a daily focus on developing your work ethic. Have a daily focus on developing your personal skills, your education, your talent. Let me give you a third one this morning. Go back to 1 Samuel, if you don't mind, 1 Samuel 16. I didn't ask you to keep your place there, but if you don't mind, just go back there. Remember David? Let's look at verse number 18 again. I said, number one, this morning, Christian teens and young adults should have a daily focus on developing their work ethic. Number two, Christian teens and young adults should have a daily focus on developing their personal skills, talents, education. Here's number three. And number three kind of puts those two together, all right? Here's number three. Christian teens and young adults should have a daily focus on preparing for future careers and callings. They should have a daily focus on preparing for future careers and callings. You know what I think is interesting about David when we meet him as a young man? Are you there in 1 Samuel 16? Look at verse 18. 1 Samuel 16, 18. The Bible says, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen the son of Jesse. Again, this is a reference to the fact that he's a young man. I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing. I want you to notice what's highlighted about David as a young man. When people met David as a young man, they said, just like Nebuchadnezzar walked away from Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel and said, these are 10 times better. When someone met David, the teenager David, the young man David, the young adult David, they walked away from him, and here's what they would say. He's cunning and playing. He's a great musician. And then they also said this, and keep in mind, they're saying this about a kid, about a young person. Before he killed Goliath, they said, and a mighty, valiant man and a man of war. Now, why would they look at David and say that he's a mighty, valiant man and a man of war when he's a youth that's never even gone to war yet? You know, what this tells me is that they looked at David and they said, this guy has a future as a military man. And you say, well, how would they know that? Well, I don't know, maybe because he was watching his father's sheep, like Joseph, and a lion came and tried to take one of the sheep, and he killed the lion with his bare hands. And then a bear came and tried to take one of the sheep, and he killed the bear with his bare hands. I think if a 17-year-old kid, you know, kills a lion with his bare hands, people are going to be like, that guy's probably going to go into the military. That guy's probably going to be a valiant man and a man of war. Here's what I'm saying to you, is David in his adulthood, David as a grown man, is known for what? Two things. He fights the Lord's battles, and he writes the Lord's songs. I mean, that's what he did as an adult. He spent his life fighting the Philistines and Goliath and fighting wars. I mean, he's known to be a valiant man of war, and he's known for writing the Psalms. Both of those are things that started in his youth. And what we can take away from that is this, that you young people should develop during your teen years and your young adult years, you should start preparing for future careers. Because the most successful people learn in their youth to prepare for what they will do for the rest of their lives. And let me just give you some practical things here. Obviously, if you're a teenager and you're still in school, then your focus, you say, how do I prepare for my future calling? And career. If you're still in school, then the way you prepare for that is by taking school seriously. Get good grades. Learn math, learn science, learn English, you know, go through your schooling, get good grades, take it seriously, become well-rounded, well-educated. If you're still in school, that's your number one priority, is to actually not waste your high school years and learn. But, you know, what about after you've graduated high school? Once you're done with school, what should you be doing? You say, I'm a young person, I just graduated high school, you know, or I'm not in school anymore, I'm not married yet, I don't have kids, what should I be doing? Let me give you some thoughts for young men and then some thoughts for young ladies. For young men, after graduating high school, you need to be developing the skills needed for a future career. And I think the main thing is that you need to just choose a career. And again, I think that there's just a lot of what happens with a lot of young people is I feel like they don't get a lot of direction. And I think that parents themselves and grandparents and aunts and uncles and people along them, you know, people just don't know what are you supposed to say to a young person. So let me, first of all, speak to you young people. If you're a teenager, you're a young adult, especially if you're a young man, it's going to get married one day and you're going to have to support a family. Let me just give you some advice. But you adults, you know, listen to this, because this is the way that maybe you could be advising some of the young people in your job, in your life. And first of all, I want to encourage young people that are trying to decide, you know, what should I do for work? One thing that you need to be considering is that you need to just consider that you're going to go into a career that is going to be a high-paying job. And again, our life is not about money. And we should not be pursuing money. We should not be, the love of money is the root of all evil. But I am saying to you that it takes money to live, and especially if you're going to have a Bible, a family that is patterned after the Bible, where you have a man who supports his family and a wife who is a homemaker and stays home, you're going to need a job that pays well to support that family. And I'm just telling you, as a young person, you need to be considering that. Because I feel like a lot of the counsel that young people get is like, well, what does your heart tell you to do? And what makes you happy? And look, I'm just telling you, what's going to make you happy when you have a wife and six kids is that you can provide for them financially. That's what's going to make you happy. And look, a job's a job. Work is work. It's not so, this is why you need to just get used to enjoying work, because no one's going to pay you to ride roller coasters all day. Okay? Like, I'm sure someone's going to email me, and I'm sure there's some guy somewhere who rides roller coasters all day and gets paid $80,000 a year or something. Maybe that exists, but there's probably just one guy that does that. And you're not going to get that job, okay? You're not going to just, you know, people want to have these jobs like, I want a job that's just fun all day. You need to be looking for a work that's going to pay you well. You need to be looking for a trade, a profession that's going to pay you well, that's going to be comfortable, provide comfortably for your family, that's going to allow you the freedom to be able to serve God. Because that's the focus, is to serve the Lord with your life, to provide for a future wife, to provide for children. And look, we live in California, and if you're going to live in California, I'm telling you, you need to be looking for careers and jobs. You need to be aiming for jobs that are going to pay you $100,000 a year. You know, aim for that. I'm not saying that you start off with that, but something that's going to get you there eventually, because I'm just telling you, that's what it's going to take to provide for family in the state of California if you're going to be a one-income family. So choose a job that pays well. Look for careers. You say, well, how do I find that? Okay, let me give you some advice. Look for careers that require training, certification, licenses. The harder it is to become that, and look, I'm not telling you, it could be a trade, it could be college, whatever. It could be become, you know, going through some journeyman and you know, an apprenticeship, or it could be getting a 4-year degree. I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm just telling you, the harder it is to be that, the better those people get paid, and the better job security they have. And if it's just a job that you just anyone could do, and it's a job that you could just get some certification, some online 24-hour course, you know, it's just what I'm saying to you is that if it's easy to do, then everyone's going to do it, and you're not going to be paid well. Look for a career that requires some training, some certification, some licenses, something that makes you unique, you stand out, that gives you stability, that gives you income. Don't look for something that just anyone can do. Pick something that allows for faithfulness to church. You know, pick a job that's going to allow you to be faithful to church, that's going to allow you to be home in the evenings, home on the weekends. And look, if you're listening to me right now and you're like, I'm an older person and I didn't do any of that and I right now find myself struggling, I'm not picking on you. I get it. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I am trying to help some of these young men to just make some decisions to set themselves up for success in life. Money is not the purpose of our life. It's not the goal of our life, but it is a tool that we have to consider. And then I would say choose something that you can do long-term without dread. You know, obviously, you should have a job. You shouldn't have a job you're going to do for the rest of your life that you just hate. But just realize that you're not going to have a job that's just a big birthday party all day, every day either. Work is work. And even if you enjoy your work at times, you're just going to it's just going to be work. It's going to be hard. It's going to be labor. But obviously, look for something that you like. Look for something that you can do long term. But I just think for young men, these are things that they should be thinking about and they should be guiding. And here's what I'm saying to you young men. If you're listening to me right now and you say, I'm a young man, I'm not married, I don't have any children, this is the time. This is the time to find that job, get that career, be that journeyman, go through that licensing, get that training, get that education. While you don't have anyone depending on you, this is the time to do that work so that by the time you're ready to get married, by the time you have some kids, you actually have a good job that provides well, and you can just not be hating life. Because here's what ends up happening. Young people just party their whole lives, have fun their whole lives, waste their whole youth. Then they wake up one day, realize, I'm married, I've got all these kids, I need a job. And I need a better job than one I have. And so then they're trying to go to school and trying to do. And look, if that's what you need to do, that's what you need to do. But it makes it a lot harder when you're trying to do all that while having all this financial responsibility on your shoulders. So I'm saying to you young men, before you get married and have all these kids, don't waste that opportunity. Look for a job that pays well. Look for a job that you say, yeah, but for those 3 years that I'm in training, those 4 years that I'm in training, I'm not going to make great money. Good, you're not married. You don't need to make great money. But those 4 years are going to feel like nothing when you've been working at a career for 40 years and you've been earning a good income and you can be a blessing to your family. You can be a blessing to your church. You can serve God with your life. You're not just on this constant pressure of finances. Those are just some tips for young men. And obviously, young men, you do what you want with it, but if you're wise, you'd listen to what I'm saying to you. Look for a trade or profession that pays well. Look for something that requires some training and certification and get into that and make sure that you're not loving money and make sure that you're serving God as well and that you're doing something that's going to help you in your life. What about young ladies? Now we have a young lady. Obviously, we teach here that the Bible says that the Apostle Paul said, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And I think that obviously we teach that the best thing for a young lady to do is to get married and to have children, to be a homemaker and homeschool those children. Obviously, that's the best thing that a young lady could do with her life. That's what the Bible teaches. But you say, well, what about this stage? I'm out of school and I don't have that yet. I'm not married. What do I do? I just sit around and do nothing all day. No, this is a time where you need to be training for your future career. And you do need to be learning to cook and clean and to manage. And look, and people laugh at that, like, learn to cook and clean. Do you understand that feeding a family of eight three times a day is a big endeavor? It requires a lot of planning and training and work. You've got to learn to manage a household. These are be involved in the daily task in your own home and learn to become a good future wife and mother. You know, you can help if you've got some younger siblings. You can help homeschool those younger siblings. You can help manage the schedule. You can assist. You can get heavily involved in church. This is another thing that young people, you got a lot of time in your hands, get heavily involved in church. And ladies, you know, learn to make money from home as well. The virtuous woman was making money from home. That's something you could do. You could get an education. If you're just sitting around and waiting for, you know, your knight in shining armor to show up or whatever, take some online class. I'm not against that. You know, do something. Here's what I'm saying to you. Nobody, let me just give you a preview to my Senior Saints sermon next week. It is not God's will for anyone to ever get to any season of life where the plan is, I'm going to now sit around and do nothing. And whether that's retirement or whether that's, well, I'm not in school anymore and I'm not married yet, so I'm just going to sit around and do nothing. That's not God's will. And God talks a lot about this. He talks a lot about idleness. And look, I'm just telling you, people who get themselves into trouble, people who cause trouble, who bring reproach upon themselves, bring reproach upon their families, men and women. You find someone who's constantly in trouble, getting themselves into trouble, having problems. I promise you, you find someone like that, you'll find someone who's idle. Someone who just has too much time on their hands. And you say, well, how do you fix it? Work! Get up and work. Do something. Keep yourself busy. Do something of value and that's healthy and that's good and that's spiritual with your life. It'll keep you from doing stupid things and ruining your life. And that's both men and women. When did David commit adultery? When he chose to not go off to war. When he was being idle. So I'm just telling you, it's not God's will for you to just, I got nothing to do all week. I'm just, what are you going to do? I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to get yourself into trouble. You're going to cause problems. You're going to cause issues. You're going to spend way too much time on social media. Find something to do. Every Christian that's right with God needs to get up every day and work. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Word of God says. So everybody should have, you say, I thought this was teens. It's for everybody. Work. Have a daily focus on preparing for future careers and callings and work. Let me give you the last one. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you don't mind. In the New Testament, you've got the T books. They're all clustered together. 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, 2nd Timothy. Some of you retired folks are like, I'm not coming to that sermon. Well, good thing is you're older. You'll probably forget before Sunday. So anyway, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding, okay? I'm kidding. Have a daily focus on developing their work ethic. Have a daily focus on developing personal skills and talents. Have a daily focus on preparing for future careers and callings. Here's number 4. Have a daily focus on preparing for future marriage. Have a daily focus on preparing for future marriage. Marriage is something you prepare for. It's not something that happens. Get this out of your head, this little Hollywood teaching that you fall into love. People act like you fall into love like you fall into a ditch. Like you can't control it. It's just something that happened. I was just walking down the road and this hole, I just fell into it. That's ridiculous. Marriage and love is something you prepare for. I often tell when I do marriage premarital counseling with young people, I often tell them, the reason that marriages do not succeed, the reason they fail, is because of lack of preparation. The problem is that young people have this idea that if I make a commitment, if I throw a big party, invite all my friends and family, and walk down an aisle and make a public commitment, then that's all a marriage needs. But let me tell you something. Marriage is a marathon. If I throw a big party and stand up in front of everybody, if tonight I throw myself a big party wear a nice suit, stand up in front of everybody and say, I'm making a public commitment that I'm going to run a marathon tomorrow. I do. You think I'm going to run that marathon tomorrow? I can tell you I'm not. But I'm committed. Yeah, but there's the problem is my commitment may be sincere. The problem is not my commitment, is that I haven't prepared for the marathon. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And marriage is the same way. You can stand up and I'm committed, but if you've not prepared, if you're not prepared, it's the longest, greatest marathon you'll ever run. So young people, you ought to prepare for future marriage. You say, what's the first thing? 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Are you there? Look at it. 2 Timothy 2, 22, the Bible says, flee also youthful lusts. Flee also youthful lusts. You know what 1 Corinthians says? Paul says, flee fornication. What do we see with Joseph? Potiphar's wife tries to get him to commit adultery with her, and he flees from her. You know, you say, I'm a young person. How do I prepare for marriage? Number one, maintain purity. Maintain purity for your future spouse. You know, the truth of the matter is that intimacy is built on inclusivity. And the greatest thing that you could do for your marriage and for your future spouse is to not bring a bunch of baggage into your marriage. You say, well, how do I do that? Maintain purity. Just make a decision right now, young people, that you're going to save yourself for your marriage date, that you're going to walk down the aisle, both male and female, a virgin before the Lord. And that you're just going to be pure, even from habitual sins and from pornography and things, that you're just going to be pure. I'm just telling you, it's going to ruin your life. You're going to regret your life if you just bring a bunch of baggage into your marriage. And right now is the time for you as young people to just decide, I'm going to maintain purity. And look, if you're here this morning and you're listening to me, you say, I've already crossed some lines, I've already done some things, then ask God to forgive you and move on. But just decide from now on that you're going to maintain purity until the day you're married. And God has a great plan for you. God has a great life in store for you. But intimacy is built on inclusivity. So maintain purity. But let me just say this as well. Not only should you focus on purity, you should focus on pursuit. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, you don't have to turn here. In fact, you go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you don't mind. You're there in 2 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. While you go there, let me read to you from Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, 22 says this, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. I like the wording there, whoso findeth, because the word findeth seems to indicate that you're looking. You're searching. And you young people, when you're in your teens and when you're a young adult and you're in this stage where you're dating and you're pursuing, you're preparing, you're looking for that future spouse, you know, you ought to have a plan about who are you looking for. And you young people, I want to ask you this question. And I want you to answer it, not out loud, but I want you to answer it in your own mind or at some point, get away at some point today or sometime this week and answer this question. Who are you looking for? Do you even know? You're just looking for anyone that shows up, that comes around. Who are you looking for? What are the characteristics that you value in a spouse? What are you looking for? What kind of spouse is the one that you want? Are you clear about that? Because if you get this idea where you realize, this is who I'm looking for. I'm looking for this kind of person. That's going to help you weed out all these other suitors. Yeah, this guy's interested. Yeah, this gal's interested. But they're not this. This is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm praying for. This is what I'm pursuing. So you got to get a clear mind set. What are you looking for? Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. What are the characteristics of the kind of person that you're looking for to marry? You got to be clear about that. But let me just say this. Not only should you be asking, who are you looking for? You should be answering this question, who should you be looking for? And I'm going to answer that question for you. If you're a Christian young person, you need to be looking for someone that's saved. The Bible says that you ought not yoke yourself up with unbelievers. There's no greater yoke than the yoke of marriage. But let me just say this. It's not just saved. It's you ought to be looking for someone that's spiritual. Because you can be saved and carnal. You can be saved and worldly. So you ought to be looking for someone that's saved. You ought to be looking for someone that's spiritual. Let me say this. You ought to be looking for someone that's serving. You say, why should I look for someone that's serving? Here's why you should look for someone serving. Because if they're serving in church, they're volunteering, you know what that tells you? When no one's making them, they're proactive, they're not a lazy person. You need to be looking at things in people's youth, because what they do in their youth is what they will do as adults. Obviously, God can change people, obviously, but you know what? You need to just realize that if they're lazy as teens, they're going to be lazy in their 20s as well. So look for someone that's serving. Look for someone that's soul winning. Look for someone that's sold out for God and for the things of God. Who should you be looking for? And look, young people, let me just give you some advice. And I've said this for years and years and years, and I can say it till I'm blue in the face. And I just pray you'll listen to me. And if you haven't been listening this whole time, you need to just listen right now. During the years in which you're dating, you need to realize that you are not married. I feel like this is the problem that I find with young people, is that they treat dating like marriage. Like there's such this big commitment that I can't forsake this person. And then once they're married, they just act like, oh, whatever, no big deal. During the times of dating, the whole point is that you're trying to find the person. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, that right person. No one's perfect. No one's sinless. But that's why you need to have a clear idea of who are you looking for and what you should be looking for. But once you have that, once you know, okay, I'm looking for someone that's saved. I'm looking for someone that's spiritual. I'm looking for someone that's sold out. I'm looking for someone that's a soul winner. I'm looking for someone that serves. And I've got these personal characteristics and things, these things that I value. I'm looking for this individual. Once you have that, don't ignore the red flags. Don't ignore the red flags. Look, there's plenty of fish in the sea. There's 8 billion people on this earth. The person that you're looking for is out there. Don't ignore the red flags. And I'm just going to say to young people, and I hope you'll listen to me, but I just think if you are a wise young person, you will allow your parents, and you will allow your pastor, and you will allow your pastor's wife, and you will allow any godly grandparents or godly people in your life to just have some veto power. And look, I'm just saying to you young people, if your mom who loves you and loves the Lord, or your dad who loves you and loves the Lord, or your pastor who loves you and loves the Lord, or your pastor's wife who loves you and loves the Lord, if they walk up to you and they say, listen, I'm going to say this to you, and I'm going to say this to you one time, I don't think you should marry that person. You, a wise person, would just say, okay. Amen. Do yourself a favor and everyone who loves you, and just submit to that. Amen. Because these people are not against you. They're not against your happiness. They want you to be happy. That's why they're telling you that. So just let some godly people, some older people, some people who love your life, let them have the veto power. You know, one thing that my wife and I tell, we want to have with our children is, we're not going to tell our children who to marry, but we are going to tell them, don't marry this person. And a wise person would listen to that. And I'm just telling you, it'll save you a lot of heartache in your life. To go through your teen years preparing, go through your early adult years preparing for future marriage. Maintain your own purity. Get an idea of who you're looking for. But then here's a third question. Because we talked about who are you looking for? Who should you be looking for? Well, you've got your values. You've got things maybe, whatever. I don't know. I really like hiking, so I'm looking for someone that likes hiking. Obviously, if you're really into outdoorsy stuff, you don't want to marry someone that hates the outdoors. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So you've got to figure out, like, who am I looking for? Like, what are things I value, things I like? But also, who should you be looking for? Someone who's saved, spiritual, sold out, serving, soul winning, all that. But then here's another question you young people should ask yourself. Because I think young people, they like that. Like, oh yeah, you know, who am I looking for? Who should I be looking for? But ask yourself this question also. Who's looking for you? You say, what does that mean? I'm saying, you've got this whole idea. I'm going to marry this person. I'm going to marry this guy, and he's got broad shoulders, and he's got, you know, a nice jaw, and he makes $1 million a year, and he drives a Corvette. You got all these ideas of all these people you're going to marry and who you're looking for and blah, blah, blah. Okay, but here's a question I have for you. Who's looking for you, though? I've heard it said this way. I didn't come up with this, but I think it's a good way to say it. During your youth, you should work at becoming the type of person that the person that you're looking for is looking for. You understand what I just said to you? You say, I've got this person, I'm looking for this perfect person. Okay, but once you find them, are they looking for you? This is what I think is funny about, you know, young men and young ladies. It's like, I've got this perfect person, whatever. And it's like, but what's going on in your life? Do you see what I'm saying to you? This is why you need to be working on developing your talents, developing your skills, getting an education, having a good job. You know, you need to become the person, yes, focus on the person you're looking for, but you need to be asking yourself, okay, but once I find that person, who are they going to be looking for? And work at becoming the person that you're looking for is looking for, because the person that you're looking for, young man, is probably, the person that she's looking for is probably not unemployed, is probably not addicted to drugs, is probably not spending 12 hours a day playing video games. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, I'm trying to help you. So figure out who you're looking for and figure out who you should be looking for. But also consider who's looking for you. And you ought to be working at becoming the type of person that the person that you're looking for is looking for. All right, there in 1 Timothy 4, let's finish this up. Look at verse 12. 1 Timothy 4 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Let no man despise thy youth. This is a great time in your life. Great season in your life to do some great things for God. Go back to Ecclesiastes. Look at chapter 11. We'll finish up. We were in Ecclesiastes 12. Look at Ecclesiastes 11. Look at verse 9. Notice what the Bible says. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. You know, I think you just ought to enjoy every season of life. Don't be this person like, always, I just, you know, always wait, you know, kids are always waiting till they're teens, and teens are always like, I can't wait till I'm an adult, and then, you know, once you're an adult, well, you're single, I can't wait till I'm married, and once you're married, I can't wait till I have children. You're always, you know, looking for that next thing. Just learn to be content in the season you are in life. And then you get to old age, and you're like, I wish I was back. Just learn to be content whatever age you're at. And if you're a young person, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in all the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. Enjoy it. But here's the warning. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thine heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for thy childhood and youth are vanity. Say, what is the Bible saying? Here's what the Bible's saying. Enjoy your youth, but know that God is going to judge you. So use this time to remove sorrow, remove regrets, make good decisions, seek godly counsel, listen to people that love you. Because the truth of the matter is this, childhood and youth are vanity. They're going to go away, and you're going to live most of your life as an adult. So prepare for that. So how do I do that? By developing a good work ethic. How do I do that? By developing some personal skills and talents and education. How do I do that? By preparing for future careers and callings. How do I do that? By preparing for a future spouse. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. And Lord, I thank you for the young people in our church. And Lord, I do pray that the young people in our church would receive the sermon in the spirit in which it was given, which is not, Lord, I thank you for the teens and the young people. We've got a great group of young people in our church, and I thank you for it. I thank you for any young person that's here. And I'm not picking on them or beating up on them. I hope they understand that I'm trying to help them. And there's a church full of people that have lived life and have some scars and have some regrets. And we're just trying to help these young people to remove sorrow, to put away evil, to realize that God will bring them into judgment. And Lord, I pray you'd help them to receive that. Help us as adults to know how to encourage young people, to give them wise counsel. We love you. In the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for being here.